Copy, one per household, they're available. Also want to say a thank you to Don Holton and Larry. I know they were out there and they were burning some of the brush pile this past week. And so supposedly I haven't been out there yet, but it's about half the size of what it was before. And so we're very grateful for the continued progress that God's people are making on God's land. So thank you very much. A couple of other announcements. Remember that next week will be an abbreviated service, and somewhere between 6:45 and 7 p.m. will begin a short annual meeting. We won't be going through lots of details. We'll have opportunity if you have questions, but what we're asking is if you do have questions or if things that you're wondering about or comments, send them my way or to one of the council members' way. We'll share them with each other, and then we can address those next week instead of having to spend a lot of time. We want to be conscious not only of the COVID-19, but also of the young families in our congregation, so that if they come, they don't have to worry about more than a 30-minute meeting. So that's our target. We'll take care of the action items, and I hope that as you read the annual report this week, that you'll see that in spite of obstacles this past year, God has been extremely faithful and generous and good, and our members and our supporters, everything has gone well in spite of all the things that have been working against God's kingdom. So I thank and praise God, and I thank you as well. Also, remember tonight, following worship, we'll have communion. Please follow the direction of our ushers. I think, Rich, you're going to be kind of guiding them, right? So just follow Rich, and he'll take you out kind of one at a time or one household at a time so that we can then do it in a safe manner for Holy Communion. February 3rd will be our next Zoom council meeting, so keep that in mind. And also a word of thanks about the virtual shower that we had. We had a couple of newcomers that haven't been on Zoom before, and so maybe we'll start a thing like once a month for women that are interested, where we get online just for a half hour or so, we see each other, we check in, and we talk about what's going well or what some of our prayer concerns are as well. Implementation team meetings, January 31st and February 28th. Remember that New Life has been the beneficiary now of more than $1,000 worth of baby gifts. So we are just thankful for generosity and for caring for the sacredness of life. I think those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. You can see the others that Don has posted up on the screen or in the bulletin as well. And I remind you that we are beginning each week then with our mission statement. So let's recite this together, okay? Sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever, we are praising, proclaiming, and practicing Emmanuel, God with us in daily life. Praising is all about worship. Proclaiming is all about sharing the good news of Jesus and his gift of salvation. And of course, practicing, that fits well with our lessons for tonight. It's about discipleship. It's about getting behind Jesus and being where he's at. Let's rise as we are able for our gathering song, You Servants of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
We sing together our scripture song. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, through the gift of your grace, you call us to repentance, obedience, and eternal life. Transform us so that we are able to set aside all that might prohibit us from following your call to new life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Jonah chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 162, and we will read it responsively. For God alone my soul awaits in silence.
From him comes my salvation.
He alone is my rock and my salvation.
My fortress, I shall not be greatly shaken.
How long will all of you attack a man to batter him?
Like a leaning wall or a tottering fence.
They only plan to thrust him down from his high position.
They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse.
For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence.
For my hope is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation.
My fortress, I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my salvation and my glory.
My mighty rock, my refuge is God.
Trust in him at all times, O people.
Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion.
In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath.
Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery.
If riches increase, set not your heart on them.
Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this.
That power belongs to God.
And that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love.
For you will render to a man according to his work.
Our second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning with verse 29. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. For From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. I remind you that I posted a children's message called Follow Jesus about the difference between being a fan and a follower. And I hope that you get a chance to watch that. We even had a few of our little kids from the congregation do our Emmanuel cheer on there as well. We hope to add that to our Facebook page and also to our Emmanuel website soon as well. Let's sing together then the first two verses of our song of the day. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult. Leaving all for his dear sake. Or, in the words of St. Paul to the church at Corinth, he says, so that you might not be anxious or be divided, but that you might have an undivided loyalty to Jesus. Salvation belongs to our God. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. That's what our scripture lessons are proclaiming. Especially, it's what the prophet Jonah is well aware of. You see, when God goes fishing, the catch is already guaranteed. God doesn't want to take no. God doesn't like disobedience or divided loyalties. And so there's a big difference between being, as you know, a fair weather fan, where you follow a team or perhaps somebody important when they do well, when they win, when they're champions. But maybe we walk away fair weather when the weather isn't so good and the team is losing, or someone that we put our trust in has disappointed us. Well, Jesus is not asking for volunteers to come and be fair weather fans. Jesus isn't asking us to go out and spend lots of money on sports apparel, or to put our favorite movie stars or actors and actresses or sports figures. You know, you get the posters and stuff, and then they put them in their rooms or they collect the cards. Jesus is looking for, and in fact is conscripting, calling, commanding, it's an imperative, follow me. So tonight I want you to think about thy will be done. It's in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, the prayer that Jesus gave to his church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's already being done in heaven. Thy will be done. Luther, in 1529, Martin Luther wrote the Small Catechism and the Large Catechism. And when asked, well, what is this about, God's will, and we pray for it, and when does it happen? And Luther gave this response. He says, God's will is surely done without any of our prayers. But we ask in this petition that God's will would be done also in our lives here on earth. And when does it happen? Well, it happens when God sends the Holy Spirit, when God clothes us, when God fights against the devil and the flesh and the world, all those other wills that are competing. It happens when God keeps us steadfast in his word and deep in the saving faith of Jesus. Then God's will is certainly done on earth, just as it is in heaven. Salvation belongs to our God. When God goes fishing, well, his will is done. He gets the last will and testament. Follow Jesus, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere he leads me, I will follow. Follow Jesus, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere he leads, I'll go. Across the river, down through the valley, or if it be on a mountain high, I'll go, Lord, anywhere you lead me. Take me, I am yours. Not just casual observers, not just compliant when it's convenient, but fully devoted followers of Jesus. The time is at hand. The kingdom of God is now. There's one thing that we must most certainly be aware of in light of tonight's stories. You've probably heard this story. It's been around for a long time. But it's a conversation that takes place between a Christian, a believer in Jesus, and a skeptic, someone who doesn't believe in the Bible or in Jesus or even in God. And so the skeptic has a conversation with the Christian one day, and he says, you know, I don't want to call you naive or stupid, but you don't really believe all that stuff in the Bible, do you? And the Christian says, well, like what? He says, well, you know, like God creating the world in 7 days. Not going to happen. Or like Abraham and Sarah having like a baby when they're 90 and 100 years old. You don't really believe that, do you? Or like Moses and God speaking to him out of a burning bush that doesn't get burnt up? Or remember those three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, in the fiery furnace and how they got rescued? You remember Joshua and how they marched around the city of Jericho and they blew some trumpets and the walls came down? You don't really believe all that nonsense, do you? And the skeptic says, well, of course I do. It's in God's word. Why wouldn't I believe it? And then the skeptic looked at the Christian and he said, well, what about that guy? You're swallowed by a big whale. And then, of course, the Christian smiles and says, you're talking about Jonah. And it doesn't say a big whale, it says a big fish. Well, you don't really believe that that happened, do you? I mean, he's inside of a fish for 3 days and then he got spit out? And the Christian looks at the skeptic and says, well, of course I believe it. It's in God's word. Why wouldn't I trust it? Yeah, but how can you really be sure? The skeptic asks. And so the Christian says, I'll tell you what. When I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah, okay? And the skeptic says, yeah, but what if he's not there? And then a big smile comes on the Christian's face. He says, well, then you can ask him. You see, when it comes to the truth of God's word, when it comes to a simple story like Moses and the burning bush, or when it comes to Moses, the lawgiver, and the Ten Commandments, we've got the witness of the New Testament that is validating the stories of the Old Testament. And more than anything, we've got this. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Because Jesus was asked in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we want a sign. Give us a sign. Well, you and I both know he did sign after sign after sign. But he looked at his questioners and he said, no sign except one, Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the big fish for 3 days, so the Son of Man will be buried into the earth for 3 days, and on the third day rise. And there's something greater than Jonah here. If the whole people of Nineveh repented when he proclaimed nothing but fire and brimstone, then what do you think is going to happen now that the Son of Man is here? Huh? That's the only sign he gave. You see, Jesus believed in the reliability of God's word. And he believed in the truthfulness of those stories. They're not just make-believe. They're real. And if Jesus believed it, well, I want to keep company with him. I want to get behind him. He's the leader. And you and I are the followers. Follow Jesus. Anywhere he leads, we go. Fully devoted followers. In our gospel reading, St. Mark tells us that John has been arrested. You know, John the baptizer. That's not going to bode well for Jesus, or for those who get behind him and follow in his footsteps. It's a bad omen right from the start, but it says that as soon as John the baptizer was arrested, put in prison, Jesus begins his public ministry. And his message is really quite simple. The time is now. It's an opportune time. It's a kairos moment. Repent and be baptized. Repent and believe in the good news. The gospel. Salvation belongs to our God. When God goes fishing, he guarantees the catch. And as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Oh, there was Peter, and there was his brother Andrew, and they were casting nets. And what does Jesus do? He simply says, follow me. It's not an invitation. It's not an asking for volunteers. He commands them. He gives them an imperative. He says, follow me. And here's the crazy thing. You know what they do? They drop everything and they follow him. I mean, the nets, the boat, we don't even know if they brought the boat to shore. We know that they might have had some fish in there already. And at once, immediately, no hesitation, they follow Jesus. And then he goes a little bit further, And he sees two more brothers, James and John, you know, those sons of thunder, the ones that ask for the best seats at the banquet, that kind of stuff. I mean, he's not going for those with the most qualifications or the PhDs. He's not even going after career politicians. Huh. Amazing, huh? No, he's looking at the simple hearts, and he gives them a command, and they're in the boat with their father and with the hired hands, and they're mending nets, getting ready to go out to fish. They're chomping at the bit. And Jesus, I believe, gives them a different bit to chomp on. Follow me. And immediately at once they leave and they follow. It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's simply amazing. You can't explain it. And so skeptics are always going to say, well, you know, there's probably more to the story. You know, if Jesus was really serious about recruitment, he would have put an ad in the paper. Right? I mean, he would have screened the applicants. He would have gotten the best ones on the list and interviewed them, and he would have picked them according to the most qualified rather than these kind of deadbeat amateurs. Oh, they know about fishing. And maybe that's why Jesus has his eye on them, because instead of catching fish, now they're going to be in the mission of God, and they're going to be catching people, sinners, for salvation. They don't go home, apparently, and say, well, we need a week to think this job offer over. They don't go home and say, I need to discuss this package of salary and bennies with my wife or my husband or anything like that. They just immediately follow Jesus. And it kind of sounds crazy, doesn't it? Who does that? Well, maybe those who are called. Maybe those to whom the word is spoken and doesn't return empty. A number of years ago, I read a story about William Willimon. That's when he was a campus pastor, Duke University, Durham, North Carolina. And at that time, with the fraternities and stuff, and maybe they're still like that, I don't know, but college campuses, sometimes sororities, fraternities, they don't have the best moral reputations. Oh, there's some that are academic, but you know what I'm getting at, right? Well, in those days, the fraternities on the campus of Duke, even though it was a Methodist school, didn't exactly behave in the best way. They were required to have a couple of speakers come into their fraternities during the academic year. And so they invited the campus pastor, William Willimon, and said, we'd like you to come in about 9, 10 o'clock at night, and you can have an hour, and you pick the topic. And so Pastor William Willimon, he picked the topic of moral character and college. Now, what's interesting, of course, is these guys, evidently the fraternity, had probably never come to chapel, because if they had, they would know that Pastor Willimon, he didn't beat around the bush. I mean, he kind of went for the jugular. He kind of told it like it was. So the time of the appointment came, and he went over to the fraternity house, and he knocked on the door, and there opening the door was a little kid, probably about Nora's age, 9, 10 years old is all. And he thinks, this is strange. What's this kid doing over this time of night? Should be in bed, school tomorrow? And the boy led him in, and he said, you must be the pastor. They're all in the common room. He showed him the common room, and then he left. And Pastor Willimon said, you know, I was thinking in my mind, I thought, yep, good thing I got this lecture for these guys tonight. I mean, they're trying to morally corrupt this boy. They're probably going to have him drink a bunch of alcohol, watch him get drunk silly, and then laugh about it. He goes in there. He says, you know, my topic for tonight is, well, problem with morality in college, moral character. And he said, you guys have failed miserably. You've let the previous generations down, and you've got bad reputations on campus. You know what people are saying about you? I mean, Pastor Willimon said, I was just hammering away at him. And then after about an hour, I looked at him and said, well, that wraps it up. How about your questions? You got some questions? No question, just dead silence. So he thanked them for inviting him. And then he started to go out. And one of the fraternity guys, a young man, maybe 19, 20, he walked them to the door and they went outside and he lit up a cigarette and took a drag on it. And as they were doing that, the boy, the one that had let Pastor Williman in, had come down by the front stairwell and stuff as they were leaving, and he noticed that, well, the fraternity brother said to the boy, you go get ready for bed, I'll be up, I'll tuck you in, and I'll read you a story. And Williman thought, well, this is kind of strange. So when they're outside and he's taking a puff on the cigarette, this fraternity brother, Williman says to him, so what's the story with that boy? And he says, well, his name is Donnie. His mother is on crack cocaine. And someday she's just lost it all. And we're part of the Big Brother ministry here in Durham, North Carolina. And so we told Donnie, we said, if it gets tough some days, you just let us know. You can stay here with us. So we've been taking care of him for about 6 months now. And we take him to school. We make sure he gets his homework done. We get him clothes and the school supplies he needs and stuff. Make sure he's eating right. Pastor Williman looked at him and said, I take back everything I just said tonight. That's amazing. And the fraternity boy, the student, he takes another drag on the cigarette and he says, no, not really. You know what's really amazing? What's really amazing is that God would call someone like me and my fraternity brothers to take care of Donnie. That's what's really amazing. And when Pastor Willman left that night, he thought, you know what? What's amazing is that this young man believes in God and believes that God called him and believes that it's amazing that God would call someone like him to take care of Donnie. And not because it was a required class on the campus, and not because, well, the fraternity brothers, you know, were dating girls in the Big Brother, Big Sister program, but just because when God goes fishing, God guarantees the catch. God knows who he needs and wants and desires to bring about salvation. The story of Jonah. I mean, it's an amazing story. You just get a little snippet tonight. But the reality is what? Jonah's called. He's the son of Amittai, which means faithfulness. But as you know from that story, Jonah isn't always faithful. And he represents Israel in the Old Testament. He represents the church of the New Testament. We're not always faithful when God commands us, when God calls us. God didn't say, well, here, I've got an option for you, Jonah. No, God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and cry out. Cry out against it. I don't want them to perish. I want them to repent so that they can be saved. And you know what Jonah did, because Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and they were so evil. They were wicked. They were Israel's arch enemy. That's the last thing that Jonah wanted to do to get into the camp of the enemies, you know, Nineveh, modern day Mosul. So he doesn't go up to Mosul, he goes on to Joppa, gets on a ship that's going to Tarshish, complete opposite directions, to flee the presence of the Lord. And you know what happens? You think you can run away from God? Really? Do you believe that you can run away from God? Well, you can try, but by the time you get to wherever you're going, he's already been there waiting for you. He sends a storm on the sea, Mediterranean Sea, and the next thing we know is that Jonah is sound asleep in the belly of the ship, and those pagan, unbelieving sailors are throwing over everything they can find like an offering to the sea gods. And then they go down and they say, wake up, you should be praying to your gods. We're going to die. And Jonah says, it's all my fault anyway. Just throw me overboard. And they said, we're not going to do that. That's terrible. Well, eventually, those pagan sailors, because of Jonah's disobedience, they get saved. And when Jonah gets thrown overboard, reluctantly by the sailors, God commands a big fish to swallow him. And then he goes into the depths of repentance for 3 days. And God commands the fish to spit him out on the shore and says, okay, remember what I told you to do? Get up to Nineveh and tell them what I told you to tell them. And he does. He goes up there this time, maybe because he knows he can't run and that there's no escape, that God's called him and he's going to have to do it, but he does it reluctantly. 5 words in Hebrew. 40 days, go to hell. I mean, there's no hope in the message, folks. He wants his arch enemies to perish, and he wants them to be punished, and he wants them to suffer. But what amazing thing happens? Everybody thinks about how, well, the big amazing thing, this guy was swallowed by a fish for 3 days. The amazing thing is that from the king all the way down to the peasant, even the animals, they put on dust and sackcloth, they repent. The king issues an edict and says, everyone repents. Who knows, maybe, perhaps, no guarantee, but God will spare us and won't destroy us. And when the Lord sees their repentance, he relents. And he doesn't destroy the city. They're spared. And Jonah's the most successful prophet of the Old Testament. And what does he do? He mopes and he complains. I knew it. That's why I ran away. That's why I said I wasn't going to obey. That's why, because everybody knows your reputation, God. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know what God's character is? Gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting of evil. I mean, that's just God's nature. And Jonah knew it. And he pouts, and he goes off, and he sulks, and he's waiting for God to change his mind and to give those wicked Ninevites what they deserve. And God sees that he's struggling, so God appoints a plant to give him some shade. And then God takes the plant away, and there's the burning, scorching sun, and there's the wind that's blowing, and it's terrible. And then Jonah says, I want to die. Do you do well to be angry, Jonah? The Lord says. I mean, you pity a plant that you didn't plant, that came up in a day and was gone in a day, and yet you don't seem to care about the 120 little ones in Nineveh that don't know their right hand from their left hand? Really? And what about all those cattle? What about all those animals? Huh? You see, the story of Jonah ends with a question. What happens when God goes fishing? Well, we do know that in 612 BC, the entire city of Nineveh was destroyed. So evidently, their repentance didn't last long. Corruption always has a way of coming back and fighting against the will of God. But remember, the last will and testament belongs to our Lord. He's looking not for casual observers or a casual faith, not for compliance when it's convenient. No, he's looking for fully devoted followers. There's a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, And his name is Pastor Charles. First name is Gary. And he tells this story. A number of years ago, there was a woman in his congregation named Lucille. She was the custodian, and she loved her work. She would keep the church clean, and it was inviting and welcoming for members and for strangers. And one Friday night, when Pastor Gary Charles was working on some worship and sermon prep, she came into his office, knocked, she took off her gloves, and he knew why she was there. She was there to turn in her resignation, because her son, who was an invalid, had just won a major lottery. Lots of money. I mean, it was a game changer, and all the friends said, Lucille, quit that job. Don't work so hard. You're getting older. Travel. Have fun. Spend that money. So Lucille was in there, and she was telling her pastor, she said, everybody's telling me that I should just have fun and go out and spend the money and live it up. And she said, but you know, here's the thing. I like what I do here. I like cleaning this church and doing God's work and knowing that the church is inviting and welcoming to whoever comes in through the doors. So Pastor, I'm here because I want you to tell me what I should do. And there was a pause, and before Pastor Gary Charles could respond, she answered her own question. She said, they say that I should go and spend the money and have fun, but I don't care what they say. I care what Jesus says. And Jesus is saying that I should stay right here and keep doing the work that I'm already doing. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are you going to do if God goes fishing in your life? What are you going to do when God casts the net in your direction and says, follow me? Follow me. Well, this past week, I had another dose of chemo, my 18th round. And when I go there, because I don't have a lot of covering on my head, I wear a hat. And so they kind of know me, you know, when you go there every 2 weeks. And so several people, most of them strangers actually, they saw the hat and they said, so tell me, are they going to win this Sunday? And then I realized, oh, you're talking about the Packers and how they're going to be playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I said, well, I hope so. I said, but you got to remember this. I said, I'm a fan of the Green Bay Packers, but I'm a follower of Jesus. Football is just a game. But Jesus, he's my life. You see the difference? One is about here and now, a game on a given Sunday. Or maybe a trophy with a Super Bowl win, huh? Big deal. We're not talking about a game. We're talking about eternity. And so you see what God does? He goes fishing on the 10th floor of Mayo Clinic, where there's 100, 150 people getting chemo every day. And where some people are just kind of inquiring about what it might mean to be a fan. And where they need to hear a word about eternity. God's will is surely done without our asking or praying for it, but we pray in this petition that his will would be done in our lives also. The time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus says. Repent. Believe in the good news. Follow me. And so we get behind him. He's our Lord. And he's our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able. We'll sing verses 3 and 4 of Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult.
Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that will keep us saying, Christian, love me more. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call.
We continue with our 2021 Membership Covenant Renewal Ceremony, and that's found in the bulletin and also up on the screen. God's chosen people entered the Promised Land and participated in a covenant renewal ceremony. We hear about this in Joshua 24. Joshua assembled God's people and reminded them of God's eternal faithfulness and providential care for his people. Joshua commanded God's people to choose whom they will serve, the false gods of this world or the Lord God Almighty. Joshua ended his exhortation with these familiar words, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
The people responded with one voice, "We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. His voice we will obey."
Tonight we remember God's grace and faithfulness to us, and we renew our pledge to him. God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Brothers, sisters, beloved servants of Emmanuel, you have made public profession of your faith. Sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever, do you intend to continue in the covenant that God made with you in baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear his word and share in his supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? Do you intend to practice the marks of discipleship, daily prayer, weekly worship, spiritual growth, Bible reading, service to others, sharing the good news, generously living and giving, and to grow up into the full maturity of Christ?
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you called Jonah to preach repentance to Nineveh, and your Son called his disciples to proclaim repentance and the coming of your kingdom. Give your church boldness in its proclamation of good news, so that many may gladly turn to Christ Jesus and be saved. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, give us ears to hear your call, that we may at once leave all earthly attachments and follow you. Grant us obedience to your will and your word. Grant healing to all who are sick and in need of your compassion.
Gracious Father, tonight we pray for the family and friends of Macy Jo Holton. Tragic death, only 16 years old. We pray for comfort, Lord. She confirmed her faith last fall. She believed in you, she followed you, and now there is much sorrow and grieving. Comfort them, O Lord, with the hope and promise of resurrection. We pray for McKenna Studer, that the bone marrow transplant she received will provide healing to her body as she battles leukemia cancer. We give you thanks that Victor Nielsen is cancer-free. We pray, Lord, that you would be with Barbara Stephenson and Dan Berkland, that you would be with Karen Peterson and Gloria Weebush, with Daryl Bolton and Kelly Stoyles, and with Pam and Katie Hammond, with Becky Ottman and Julie Blanchard. We pray your blessings upon Gina and Jameson DeWald and Shayla as they await the gift of new life, a new baby this summer. Grant all of your children, O Lord, your healing presence and your healing comfort.
Guide our leaders both in church and in state with your goodness and grace. Restore your world and its people, that your holy will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, we thank you for the ministry opportunities that await our congregation in this new year 2021, and for the servants of Emmanuel who have committed themselves to membership and the walk of discipleship. Grant that all baptized believers may praise and proclaim and practice your saving presence in daily life. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And then virtually and without breaking the contact, we can share God's love and our peace and his peace tonight, but also in the days ahead. And we'll experience that peace of God in the sacrament of Holy Communion at the close of our service as well. You may be seated. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O holy God. You are the life and light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son. He is your light shining in our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this cup, all of you, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Spirit, bless us and this meal, that refreshed with this heavenly food, we may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our sending song, O Jesus, I have promised.
master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. O Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end, and will give thee grace to follow my master and my friend.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.